Good morning, brothers and sisters. Indeed, it's a blessing as well as a time of intimidation to be here to share at this time. I thank the Lord, though, for this privilege. Every time I have an opportunity to share the good news, I'm grateful to God that He would choose to use someone like me to be a proclaimer of His good news. I was asked a couple of weeks ago to give the title for the sermon. Sometimes I don't know on Sunday morning what the title of the sermon is going to be. And I've been preaching through 1 and 2 Corinthians at the church that I'm blessed to serve. And I said at that time, a glorious ministry. But the Lord has kind of led me in another direction this morning. And although we do serve in a glorious ministry, and Paul was saying in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I like the New Living Translation, it says, we will never give up. And surely that's a good word for all of us who serve the Lord. We should never give up. But there's a word that I'd like to consider today from the Old Testament record, 2 Kings chapter 4, the first 7 verses, a very familiar story that I'd like to share with you this morning. And we pray, I solicit your prayers as we share together. Let me share this reading today from the New International Version. 2 Corinthians 4:1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 sons as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I keep you? How can I help you, rather? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. And you and your sons, pour out into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it one to a side." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. Then brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay the debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." I want to talk today from the thought, tell me, what do you have in your house? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Warren Wiersbe, in his little commentary on 2 Kings, calls this section, "Grace Pays the Debt." But I like this idea that we have already in the house and in this house what we need to fulfill God's purpose and call in our lives. I'm convinced, as Tony Barnett says, that there's a miracle in my own house. And I believe there's a miracle in your house. God's solution starts with what you have. So many times in this season of the year, students come and indicate to me that they feel like, "I'm not sure I can make it. I can't find the energy to write that last paper. Don't know how in the world I'm going to pass that exam. Feel that things are not going. I'm at graduation and don't know where I'm going from here." I want to assure you that what God has for you is already in you. God has invested it in your life. And there are some great principles in this simple story that I believe can revolutionize our lives. First, if you look at verse 1, 2 Kings 4, 1, you need to know that when you go, know where to go, when you don't know what to do. You need to know where to go when you don't know what to do. The passage says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets called out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two sons as his slave." Need to understand that in that culture, very typical that if a person was in debt, that those to whom they owed the debt could claim relatives, children, to fulfill the obligation. And sometimes this was something that was a temporary situation, but often, maybe too often, the person who was owed the debt often required more than really was demanded. We don't know the situation here with this woman. We know that she somehow feels desperate, but she, a widow, a single parent, seemingly in an impossible situation, thought the only thing going for her was that she had the right direction in which to turn. She turned to the man of God. She turned to the one who could help her, not to the man so much, but to the man who represented God. See, only God could make a miracle happen in her situation. She went to the prophet with her plight. Where we place our expectations determines whether we'll receive a blessing or a miracle. See, if we insist on looking to man to supply our needs, we will continue to be disappointed. But she knew where to go. And I want to suggest to you that if you are going through something right now in your life, it's absolutely essential that you know where to go. I know in my own life, I've gone in the wrong direction many times. I've sought solutions on my own and sometimes through other people who were not necessarily representing God. But if you've been there, if you've gone through some difficult situations, if you turn in the right direction, I can assure you God has an answer for you. Secondly, don't seek an earthly Messiah. Verse 2 says, "What can I do to help you?" What the prophet said to her. "What can I do for you?" His reaction at first seems to me that he was frustrated, that she had come to him, that she was saying, "What can I do about your situation?" But I believe he was simply refusing to let her put her trust in him, insisting that she keep her trust in the Lord. See, unfortunately, in this age in which we are living, so many Christians are celebrity-oriented. They think that only certain preachers and leaders can provide them the answer that they need, without really focusing on the fact that if you turn to the one and only one who can answer and solve all of your problems, trust me, he will come through for you. The prophet here was pointing this needy widow to the source of her blessing. God's wisdom and God's help far surpasses anything anyone else can do. So always seek him. Put him to the test, and I found out, and others here could give testimony to that fact, that God will come through for you. The question that was asked, "What do you have in your house?" And this needy widow could have gotten caught up in what she did not have. You see, my brothers and sisters, we have to see the possibilities of what we already have. See, what she needed was to recognize that God was already giving her the beginnings of the blessing, even though she thought what she had was so small. So many times we look at our circumstances and we see no way out, or we see what we have and we assume that nothing good or blessed can come out of this situation. But we haven't yet placed it totally in the hands of the Lord, and you would be amazed at what God can do when you hand him what you have. Still, in verse 2, he said, don't be blinded by negativism, but pass on the positive. Too often our first reaction to crisis is always negative. Nothing is going good. Nothing is right. There is no hope. Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar, a flask of oil, maybe olive oil. It started out in the negative, but quickly it passed to the positive. It's easy to say, I have nothing. But it takes faith to go and say nothing and move from that but a jar of oil. See, one small possibility, one small asset, one significant thing I can offer for the Lord, for he can use it and he can multiply it. Faith does not deny present reality. It just acknowledges that all things are possible with God. And maybe someone here today or someone listening by television who feels that I have nothing to offer. But I want to assure you that if you will simply offer what you have unto the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. And then faith is not faith until you do something. See, action is always required in our relationship with God. The prophet told the widow that she had to take some action to get out of her fix. She was to go out and borrow as many vessels as she could find. See, most people want God to act on their behalf, but first they must act by faith on their own behalf. So many people that I encounter come in to my office as a pastor. They always come in talking about what they don't have and what no one has ever done for them, without realizing that God is always asking us to move out on our faith. If you, like me, believe in that wonderful definition in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, that when you get to verse 6, you can't even please God until you move in the dimension of the unseen. Faith always involves action. It always involves planting a seed, sowing a seed. It always involves moving out and then leaving the results unto the Lord. So he told her, what do you have? And she said, I just have a jar of oil. And then he said, now, I need you to go out, send your sons out to all your neighbors and borrow empty vessels. Now, my friends, I'm telling you, many of us would have decided, listen, I only have a small pot of oil. This is ridiculous to go out to all of these neighbors. I'm going to look foolish sending my sons out, asking them to bring all of these empty jars, and all I have is just one small jar of oil. But this woman, listening carefully to what the man of God was saying, and he was speaking for God, when she listened attentively to what he said, she sent her sons out, and the word said they went to all of their neighbors and borrowed all of the empty vessels, jars, that they could find. Oh, how exciting. See, when you do what God tells you to do, as he says, do it, it opens the door for God to do marvelous and great things in and through our lives. I don't know if anybody here has heard from the Lord, but only gone just a part of the way without trusting God all of the way. Thank God for his grace and mercy. But sometimes when we don't do that, he still blesses us. But think about when you trusted God all the way and watched him perform a great miracle in our lives. Verse 3 says, don't put limitations on God's ability to provide. See, what this widow woman was going to do with all these pots, the neighbor said, oh, surely she's out of her mind. In the spiritual world, we must attempt things so big for God that unless he helps us, we will fall flat on our faces. Gospel Today magazine, that's where that quote came from. It just jumped out at me. So many times we limit what God will do because we don't really put God to the test to allow him to do great things in our lives. See, you can't do great things if you don't attempt great things. I thought about our president here at Southern Seminary, Dr. Moeller. You know, he's loved and hated at the same time. But we who are here know that he's a man of great vision. I've had the blessed privilege of being here long enough to see how God has used him as a visionary in this place. I can recall, I'll have to be honest, he's not here so I can talk about it. I can be honest, sitting in faculty meeting and seeing him lay out this master plan about 10 years ago, and I said inside, no way. As my kids would say, no way, Jose, okay? I couldn't believe that we were going to accomplish all of these ambitious things that he had in his mind to do. But God had spoken to him. He saw a great vision, and he was brave enough to put God to the test. The money was not here then. The people were not here then. The facilities were not here then. But he could see what God was entrusting in his care, and he had vision enough to place it out there with all of the critics. And we can now stand here and see what God is continuing to do in and through his life. The word of God said to the woman, the man of God said, now when they come back with these vessels, bring them in the house and shut the door. I want to suggest to you that is to shut the door on doubt. See, you can go in and shut the door behind you and your sons. There will always be those naysayers who said, we tried it before and it failed, and it can't happen this way, and this is impossible. But the man of God insisted that she shut out the skeptics and turn a deaf ear to doubt. See, undoubtedly the neighbors didn't believe, and they thought she was probably a little eccentric, but she knew what God could do. She was desperate, and she was willing to put her trust in the Lord. I tell the folk that I serve, wonderful folk I've been serving as pastor for 20 years, that we will never be blessed of the Lord if we only do what we see that we can do. It is only when we believe that God can do whatever he assigns us to do will we ever accomplish great things. There are always those doubters. This is budget time for us at our church, and it's really the most difficult time of the year for me. November and December is the time we put our budget together. And I always have these folk who are always looking at last year's budget and looking at next year's needs and trying to say, there's no way we can do that. And I just, if I could, just shut them out the door so that I wouldn't have those skeptics there. Just give me the faith folk who believe, Pastor, we can do anything. With God on our side, there's nothing we can accomplish. I keep telling them, building a church and expanding a ministry has nothing to do with bankers. It has everything to do with God. That when we put our trust in him, there is nothing we can do. We may have not the big salaried people in our congregation, but when God decides that he wants to work through a people, there is nothing that can hinder us from doing what we need to do. And I suggest to you, get those doubters, those naysayers, those people who don't believe, get them away from you. Get some folk around you who believe that you can do anything through Christ Jesus. And I tell you, God will do great things through you. Then he said, pour that one jar, into all of the empty vessels. And pour until there is no more. The widow provided the effort while God made the miracle. As she poured, the word said the oil continued to flow. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil continued to flow. Okay, we can only surmise that she borrowed every available empty vessel in her little town. If there had been more vessels, I believe there would have been more oil. As long as there was an empty vessel, the oil kept pouring, and the oil did not stop flowing until all of the vessels were full. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but I wonder if much of our time should not be spent looking for empty vessels to fill. I want to suggest to you, maybe there are some hurting people who need you and me to fill them with God's word. That instead of giving up and say, we can't help, say, keep sending them, Lord, and I know you'll keep providing what we need to be a blessing. And the exacting time is that the provision continues to come as long as there's a need. God has a way, does he not, of continuing to provide as long as we are walking according to his will. He has a way of continuing to provide. And then, ninth, we need to move beyond the miracle. Sadly, some are so mystified by the blessing, by the miracle, that they get locked in place and they fail to move on. Then she came and told them, the man of God, she said, it was not enough for her to witness the miracle. She had to have purpose in it. God gives great miracles for a divine purpose, not just for our entertainment. He said, sell, pay your debt, and then he says, and there's enough left for you and your family. See, my brothers and sisters, when God blesses us, it is not there to dazzle our imaginations or to make us excited about that. It's to fulfill his great purpose. I believe the great commission of Jesus Christ to expand the gospel message. Some have been blessed, but they have forgotten God's purpose in blessing. Maybe someone here who said, I'm not sure I'm going to make it through seminary. But I want you to know that if you put your trust in God, he will help get you through. In fact, he'll get you through. But he's not doing it for you to walk around and say, I have an MDiv. He's really doing that so that you can be a vessel that he can use to pour his blessing into others. I want to challenge you that the demonic, the evil one, does not want you to succeed. But if you will keep putting your trust in him, if you will keep trusting God to fill you over and over, to provide for you time and time again, and if you will understand that that's God's purpose, to place you, to plant you where he wants you to be, what marvelous things God can do through you and through me. Remember, finally, that there will always be enough. See, one of the most comforting principles of the great story came when the prophet told the widow, you and your sons can live on the rest. God had given her enough to assure her that her family needs would always be met. Now, look, let me tell you, I'm not trying to preach this prosperity gospel that we see on television sometimes. But what I'm suggesting to you, that when God blesses, he is not short on blessing. That when God blesses you, he can bless you to meet your immediate need, but God can also bless you far beyond your immediate need. This woman, I believe, the message here is that God, because she obeyed, because she did all that the prophet, the man of God, told her to do, because she did all of that, God blessed her not only to have her needs met there, but the word said she had enough for her and her sons to live on. She had an inheritance that she could pass down to the next generation. And my brothers and sisters, the God that I serve, the God that you know, the God that we love, wants to meet all of your needs. I'm convinced that he wants to meet your needs. I'm further convinced that he wants to do more than you could ever imagine or believe. I'm totally convinced that our God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to someone else. This widow really is a wonderful illustration of the kind of person who put her trust in the right place. And I challenge you this morning as I go to my seat. In the midst of your circumstance and your situation, where have you put your trust? What kind of vessels have you provided that the Lord could fill? Ultimately, what kind of vessel are you? Are you willing to let the Lord continue to fill you and 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 fill you until he has so much in you that he can use for his glory and honor. Not for ourselves, but to the glory of our Most High God. Please don't be discouraged. Don't have all the money you need. Just trust the Lord. Not sure how you're going to write that last paper? That's okay. Trust the Lord. Not sure how you're going to find a place to minister? You know, to minister. Do you know that God already has a place ready for you? And this time is just his time of getting you ready for the place. Do you know how God has come through? I'm a witness. I'm amazed at what God can do. Somebody said, what he's done for others, he'll do the same thing for you. Is there a witness in the house? I'm used to a little amen. I'm used to a little response. Has God done something for you? Is there something in your house that God can fill, that God can use to his glory and honor? I assure you, you're not here by accident. God has something in your house. Present it to him and watch him use you mightily.